Hi, and welcome to Adventure Dog Podcast, the podcast all about doing amazing things with your doggos. I'm Nathan Berry, she's Rue the Shark, and this is episode 4. To the point. Rue gets some free interview treats, and I ask for your help. Last week, I ran a little longer than I expected, and you know what? That's okay, because I really enjoyed the conversation I had. So this week, I'm going to keep the intro here pretty short and get straight to the interview with Natasha, who's on Instagram at Zephyr Treks. She is the dog mom to 3 awesome dogs, Remy, Zephyr, and Dan. And she also runs Social Pack Dogs, a dog boarding and daycare in Dallas. And that's on Instagram at Social Pack Dogs Life. So yeah, I hope you enjoy it. Okay.
That's fine.
Well, if you just want to go ahead and we can kind of get into this, and I guess kind of just to start this off, you know, tell me about, of course, who you are and who your dogs are and a little bit about each one of them, because you've got this amazing little trio of dogs.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I'm Natasha Johnson. I have 3 dogs, Zephyr, Remy, and Deanne. And Remy was my first out of the trio. She's my red female husky, and she's kind of like living with a cat, honestly. She's very independent, but very sweet and gentle at the same time. She really has the most gentle demeanor I've had in a dog, and she's always been an easy dog. As a puppy, she was so easy. She's just, I always joke that she's the laziest husky I've ever met, because I literally don't have to worry about exercising her. She is just happy to literally be a cat all day and lounge around the house and then ask for head scratchies.
And that's it. How old is she?
She just turned 7 in March. Oh, wow.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So you've had her for a little while.
Yes. Yeah. I got her at 9 weeks old.
Wow. Okay. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I had a husky before her, so I was experienced with the breed, and my previous husky was crazy, hyper, and your typical husky, so she was really unexpected to have such a calm, easy husky.
And did you get her in Texas?
Yes, I did.
Okay, how does she handle the heat there?
She actually does pretty good. She has a really dense coat, so I do watch it in the summer, because, you know, it gets up to 100 and stuff here. She does really like to swim, which is helpful. I mean, when I lived with my parents, she would literally be in the pool all day. We had to watch her so she wouldn't get in the pool, because that's all she wanted to do was swim. So she does pretty good. I just have to, when I do big camping trips, sometimes I don't bring her because I worry that it might get too hot at night and things like that. So Zephyr is my 2nd out of the trio.
Okay.
And I specifically chose him for his temperament. I own a doggy daycare and boarding facility, and it's really important that I have good sound dogs that I trust and that are good at reading body language and responding appropriately when we have new dogs enter the facility, because they help me read those new dogs' personality and we can make sure that they're a good fit.
Sure. And that's Social Pack Dogs Life.
So the company is, yes. So that's our company Instagram. And then the actual company is Social Pack Dogs.
Okay.
It's the company.
Mm-hmm. And that's in Dallas?
Yes, that's in Dallas, Texas.
Okay.
So I got him very young as a puppy, and he had the temperament I was looking for. And then obviously raising him in the environment, I could kind of cultivate that as well. And he's turned out to be amazing. Remy has a really good temperament too, but she was sometimes a little soft for some dogs, and they would bully her just because they could tell she had a softer temperament. And so there were times when, because we do work with quirkier or riskier dogs at the facility, and there were times where I felt like it was putting her in danger because of that. And so I wanted a dog that had that confidence and assertiveness, but not dominance. And he is, honestly, I couldn't have asked for a more perfect temperament. I mean, any quirky dog we have, he knows how to manipulate the energy, and they respect him and they'll play with him and they'll take corrections. And it's just really fun to watch
So someone
how
who
he
can
interacts with them.
stand up to the other dogs and just be kind of buddy buddy with them in the right way. That's great.
So I call it, the term alpha gets thrown around a lot, but a true alpha is a parent, basically. So a true alpha isn't a dominant dog. A true alpha will submit if they think that that's what the situation calls for.
That
They're
makes a whole lot of
balanced.
sense.
Yeah, they're more of a calm, balanced energy, and that's really what he is. He's probably the most true balance energy I've ever seen in a dog, and I've worked in the industry a lot. We have one other dog that's a client dog that is very close to him as far as energy, and that really true, pure, just wonderful alpha, beautiful energy. But it's really incredible to see, and I'm so lucky that I got him, and he's been amazing, really.
And I gotta say, I mean, how lucky is it to have your family and your dog mom has a doggy daycare place, and so it's just like, how perfect can it be you have all your friends in one place too? That's just
Oh
too
yeah,
fun.
for sure. Yeah, they all love going there. They're always chomping at the bit in the morning to go. So
And then your third pup.
yeah, so my third pup is Dan. At my facility, we work with a local rescue group, and we basically hold dogs for them on a weekly basis before they go to adoption events.
Oh, cool. Okay.
So yeah, so we get to see a lot of puppies basically every week. So with that, Dan came through, and my husband and I had been wanting a smaller dog to add to our pack for a while. And I actually wasn't even at work. One of my staff posted a picture of the back of his head. It wasn't even the front. And I texted her, and I was like, "Who is that dog, and what does he look like on the front?" And she told me he is really cute, and she goes, "He has a beard. It's really funny." So I raced over to work because we were about to go out of town that weekend. So I raced over to work and I met him, and I just loved his personality. And so I called my husband and I said, "We have to get this dog." So he came and met him, and then I contacted our person at the shelter and told her that I wanted him. And so we went on our weekend road trip, and Social Pack held the dog, Dan, and then we came back and officially adopted him. But I really wanted a small dog that was spunky, that kind of had, I like the small dogs that have attitude and they're spicy, and he really had all of that. And he was old enough as a puppy to where we didn't really have to deal with all the potty training stuff and everything. So, and Zephyr and Remy loved him, so it was really a perfect fit to have him. So he's definitely added a lot of exuberance to our life. He's a
Oh,
character.
yeah, totally. I see it in just all of his photos. How old is he again?
So we estimate that he'll be turning about 2 in April.
Oh,
That's what
okay.
we think.
So he's still a
So
young
still
guy.
pretty young.
I'm looking through some of his photos and he is just like raring to go in some of these.
Oh my
These are
gosh.
great.
Yeah, he's always stealing our socks nonstop. It's
Oh
a never-ending
yeah.
battle.
Yep, I see a great photo with just a pile of socks in front of him and he looks just extremely happy about it too.
He's really fun. He definitely makes us laugh all the time.
Of the three dogs, and not to, I'm obviously, in no way. I don't ever want to say that one dog, I love one more than the other, but there's something about Zephyr that just stands out to me, like just the expression in his face or something, and I cannot help but completely be just, I fall in love with it. I'm mesmerized by those eyes, And just the look in his face sometimes, he just has this amazing look. And especially when in some of his photos where he's smiling, he's got this, he just lights up. And so I guess in a way it's like he just exudes happiness in some of these photos, which blows me away so much.
Thank you.
And were you always active? Were you getting out with Remy when you first had her? Was this something that you were already doing before Zephyr came along? Or, you know, how did your getting out and doing stuff start?
So I've always enjoyed the outdoors, for sure. And when I had Remy and my other husky too, I would always, my other husky had so much more energy, so I always had to at least go out and play fetch with him for 45 minutes or do something with him to wear him out. And so I would naturally get out a lot for that. And I've always enjoyed walking and being out in nature. And I did do it a little bit with her. I had some friends that always knew great spots around the Dallas area. If anybody is from Dallas, Texas, it's a great city and it is pretty. But as far as actual legit trails and hiking, I call them more quick walks than actual hiking. So it's hard to really feel like you're just out in nature here and away from the city.
Sure.
And so I would do that with Remy. I would go with friends and stuff a lot. And then as the business ramped up, that kind of ruled my life for a while. And then really, those friends moved out of state and it kind of got to the point where I just didn't have anybody to share that with. My husband, obviously we would go on trails and stuff here and there, but he owns his own company too. So we're always pretty busy.
Yeah.
And then by happenstance, the last couple years, my manager at my business and some of my employees, you know, we've grown really close. And so I've allowed them to take time off with me and we, you know, go camping. And so the actual camping aspect I did maybe when I was a kid and stuff, but I only really started getting into the more camping side recently within the past couple of years. And then Zephyr just, he's kind of my heart dog. I love all of them, but he's definitely my heart dog and the most active. And so I love taking him out on those adventures and hiking and stuff.
Well, I guess one thing I didn't really ask about with Social Pack, when did that start and how did that come to be? Was that something that you started after having the dogs or did that happen before?
It happened after I had had Remy for a couple years when I opened it. So we opened in 2014, January of 2014. Long story short, I was in graphic design. I had moved to Austin for a little bit. I had my male husky at the time and I applied to probably 30 different graphic design companies and was denied by all of them because Austin is super competitive. Yeah. So I had a month or two where my parents were helping to support me while I was trying to figure out what to do. And I had always thought it would be really fun to, I'd spend time at the dog park with my male husky. His name is Jaeger. And I just remember sitting there thinking, I've always loved dogs. And man, it would be so cool to open a dog ranch and retire, you know, retirement really far away. So I decided to start working at a kennel in Austin to see if I liked it for way later in life. And I just fell in love with the industry. I loved the work. I loved being outside. I'm the type of person that likes to keep moving. I don't like sitting behind a desk all day. Sure. And it just, it made my heart so happy. I was making peanuts, but I did not care. I was so happy with what I was doing. And I decided this is absolutely what I want to do
and
the rest
Austin
of my life.
Austin has a huge dog community.
Yeah. Yeah. So we ended up having to move back to Dallas and it broke my heart. I loved that place. I've never cried leaving a job before and I bawled my eyes out. So we moved back to Dallas and I worked in the kennel industry for a while. And I was offered to franchise with a company. I was offered management positions with another company. And my parents actually came to me and they said, hey, if we could help you do your own thing, if we could help get you financially started, could you do it? And I said, yeah. So I was very blessed. They helped me. So with my business, they own the land and the building.
Okay.
And then I pay them rent. And that's how I got started. But I never, in my wildest dreams, thought, when I decided I wanted to be in the kennel industry, I never thought I would own one.
Sure.
You know, maybe retirement when I have more money and all that. But really, the passion was sparked with my male husky. He was my first heart dog. And he was the true inspiration behind Social Pack Dogs and what I do. And yeah, he was just such an exuberant dog and had so much life. And for a husky, he was very in tune with you. He had so much drive. And he was really what sparked my interest in the whole industry. So I always credit my success to him, and then obviously to my family and my staff.
Yeah.
And my husband and my support system.
Well, that's you know, opening up a kennel like that is a huge step, and it looks, just from the Instagram, it looks great and it looks really successful.
You.
So I applaud you on that, and especially having to make that move. Did you find that Dallas was any less of a dog culture city than Austin was? I mean, going from Austin to Dallas, it doesn't seem like a huge move, but I can imagine mm-hmm. that there's maybe a little bit of culture difference.
There's definitely a culture difference. Austin, which I grew up in Dallas too, so
okay.
I only lived in Austin maybe a year.
Okay.
So Dallas is my true home, and Austin is definitely, yes, way more outdoorsy, way more dog-centric. Mm-hmm. The people in Austin always joke that Dallas people are snobs. So when I moved there, I would always say, we're not snobs, we're nice. But there really is a difference. We are nice in Dallas, but in Austin, I mean, people will go out of their way to be nice to you. It's crazy.
Yeah.
But really, I mean, here in Dallas, it's becoming more dog-friendly. I think the major difference is just because Austin is located in the Hill Country, and
mm-hmm.
you just have a little bit more, you've got Zilker Park and all those things that are really pretty and pristine. So people are geared to be outdoors more, to do, you know, float down the river and things like that. Whereas here we have the Trinity River, but it's not developed. So I think Dallas, the culture is more shopping and eating out and all that stuff, which means dogs kind of have a different role here.
Sure.
But it's definitely becoming more dog friendly, I will say that.
So with being in Dallas, how close to you are state parks, natural areas, anything that you go to on a regular basis? Maybe, you know, not just the stuff that you do every day, and if you're at the kennel during the week, what do your weekends look like?
So we have a couple smaller, really small preserves around here, or smaller nature trails. So during the nice weather seasons, my husband and I like to canicross with the dogs, where you attach them to a bungee line and you mm-hmm. run with them. But they're very small trails. Probably my favorite around here is called Arbor Hills, and it gets super busy all the time, but if you get off on the little trails, you can kind of feel like you're alone.
Okay.
It's just really well kept and very pretty. I always laugh because my husband's from Arizona and grew up in Arizona, and he knows more trails here in the Dallas area than I do. So he normally will kind of take me on a fun discovery and take me to new trails and stuff. But there's tons of really tiny trails in the area. You just have to know where to find them, and they're very great. They're just very small, and it's kind of scrubby woods. It's not mm-hmm. with some creeks. It's not anything super exciting. Anything that is really amazing, for instance, when we do trips to Palo Duro or things like that, that's a 6-hour drive. So
Texas
whenever,
is a big state.
Yeah, that's the problem with Texas. It takes so long to get out of it.
To get anywhere. Yeah, I've driven through there a couple times. And it's funny, we were talking about different state parks and stuff earlier before we started recording. And yeah, I definitely mentioned that I've passed through Texas several times and never even known some of these state parks have existed because they're so far off the beaten path.
Yeah, they, I mean, they really are. Even Big Bend is so far away. And yeah, I mean, Paladuro is a 6-hour drive, which I know we were joking that you've driven past Paladuro probably so many times and didn't know it existed. And it's actually the second largest canyon in the state, so the Grand Canyon, which is crazy. Yeah. But it is funny because if anybody's familiar with Amarillo, Texas, it is flat. There's nothing out there. And so you
completely
are driving
flat.
And it's so flat. And you just keep thinking, how is there a huge canyon here? There's no way there's a huge canyon here. And then right when you get to the park entrance, you can see it drop off. And it's crazy that it's out there. You would never think, which is probably why you've driven past it so many times. So yeah, so most of the state parks, they're definitely a drive, and we really have to plan a weekend or a week out of it. It's not easy to get out for those bigger treks since Texas is so large.
Yeah. So where's the first place that that you took Zephyr to?
So the first official camping trip that he went to was Paladuro.
Okay.
I went with two of my good friends, and we went for one night. So we had a quick weekend. It was Thanksgiving weekend. We drove all the way out there, 6 hours, hiked a couple trails, and then drove back the next day. And it was so funny because it was the most underprepared camping trip I've ever been on.
Had you done a whole lot of camping before that, or were you just totally new to
it? Not really. When I was much younger, there's a pretty neat area called Dinosaur Valley here in Texas as well. I think it's about 2 hours from Dallas, I want to say.
Okay.
So growing up, I did camping with my friends and stuff, but obviously when you're that young, the parents are doing everything for you. So I hadn't really had a real camping experience until in between any of that. So we thought we were prepared. We had, you know, we brought food and stuff. And the funny thing about desert camping is it can be really hot during the day and it'll drop really low at night.
Yeah.
Which we had looked at the temperatures before and the drop seemed okay. And we had brought tons of extra blankets and all sorts of stuff to make sure we were warm. And we all froze our butts off that night. It was so during the day we were in tank tops and a shorts sweating. And it dropped below freezing that night. I had frost on my blankets inside the tent. Both Remy and Zeph stayed curled in a ball the entire night. Even Remy, who has this insanely dense coat of fur, she did not even spread out. I thought she would love the cold weather, but she stayed in a tight little ball the entire night. And I don't think any of us got any sleep. We were freezing. But it was so much fun. I mean, the canyon desert landscape is definitely one of my favorite types of landscape, and seeing the canyon and those beautiful red rocks, and then the canyons there that even have the color variations where you have the yellows and the pinks, and I mean, they have so many different trails you can do. We didn't finish any of them because we were there for such a short time. So we did three and kind of went out and back just to get a taste of them. And yeah, I mean, it was so beautiful and magical. And it's so funny. This sounds so cliche, but the morning that we woke up, you know, I'm freezing. I'm laying in my tent trying to wait for the sun to hit so it can be a little warmer when I leave the tent. And we hear coyotes howling in the distance. And so I wake up to Zephyr howling with the coyotes in the tent. And, it was just really fun and surreal. And the campsites they have there are super nice. It's super well kept. And the trails that they have, there's a lot of variation, which is nice. So it was a really fun experience. I mean, we were hooked. As tired as we were and having that, you know, experience, we wanted to do it again.
So. Yeah. Any specific leash laws or rules about dogs at Paladuro?
They do require you to have your dogs on leash. There's no limit on dogs or anything like that, but they do that ask that they be kept off on the leash when
Okay.
you're there. So a lot of times we would stop for pictures, unclip the leash, we're 3 or 4 feet away, and then clip back on type of things. I mean, mine are e-collar trained, so.
Okay, like an electronic collar. Okay. A lot of people talk about them. A lot of people, I've never had any experience with e-collar, so, and I know that a lot of people kind of, they hear that e-collar and they're like, oh, that's so awful. But I think in situations like that, if it works and it's a useful tool, I think to each their own, definitely. I personally have never used one before, but I understand it. I mean, other than we have invisible fence around our yard, which is very similar to how that works, but I can definitely see the benefit of having an e-collar, especially out in the open in a situation like that where you really need that backup.
Yeah, it really, if it's trained correctly, it's so mild. I personally cannot feel the level that he's on myself. It's so low. And he's trained appropriately on it and he responds so well to it. And the wonderful thing is it gives him freedom that he otherwise would not have if I didn't have that. That's kind of how I look at it as well. Now he gets to enjoy running free when he can. So yeah, I mostly use it for recall because huskies, for example, are known to be one of the hardest dogs to train off leash because they're so stubborn and independent. So my male husky, I trained on e-collar, and I worked at kennels that did that training and stuff. So I knew enough to train my own dogs. I wouldn't recommend that for other people. And then Remy was trained at a young age, and then now Zeph. Remy can get away without having it on, but Zephyr still needs it. He kind of gets crack faced sometimes when we're out on the trail and just wants to be everywhere and doing everything. But even with Remy, it's always, I tell people it's a nice plan B. If they maybe saw a deer or something, I always know I can get them back with that at least. So it's a nice safety net to have.
I've mentioned this before on previous episodes, but Rue is horrible with her recall. Only when we're in public spaces like that, or when we're out and there's other animals involved. So I've gotten to the point where I just, especially being far away from home, I just keep her on leash all the time. But I would love to have that ability to have a perfect recall. She does great when we're at home, but just out like
Yeah,
that.
which is typical because the more distractions there are. So when I take Zeph on trails, I usually have him hooked up for the first part until he kind of walks off the crazy a little bit. And then I make sure he's focused on me. And I always bring treats too as extra reinforcement. And then I'll let him off. And it's just about with him, I have to kind of call him back a lot just to make sure he's still focusing on me and stuff. But the more we do it, the more settled he gets. But Remy's at the point where I don't really have to be paying attention to her that much. She can just be, I can put all my focus on Zephyr and know that she's in the vicinity walking around. So it's really helpful.
Other than e-collar, did you train for recall in any specific way?
Which I always recommend before introducing e-collar that your dogs already know any command you would be training them on e-collar, they know it prior to e-collar. So e-collar is just a way to reinforce that behavior. So with Zephyr, it was a lot of positive reinforcement. We did what I call marker training. So it's kind of like clicker training, but instead of the clicker, you use a word. So Zephyr's word was yes.
And for anyone that's not aware of what marker training or clicker training is, that's just using a very definite sound or a word that you use went to, I guess, along with positive reinforcement, like a treat or something, in order to let the dog know that they've done the right thing. Kind of a Pavlovian response.
I kind of equate it to taking a snapshot of that moment. Whatever behavior you're trying to capture, the sound, whether it's the clicker or your marker word that you make, is capturing that moment in time, taking a snapshot of that's exactly what I wanted you to do, and it gives you time to get a treat out because dogs, I can't remember what the seconds are, but there's a certain amount of seconds between you marking the behavior and them receiving the reward. So if it's too long, then they don't associate it with that.
Okay.
So that's what's nice about clicker training and marker training is they call it, it creates a bridge to give you more time to get that reward too, and to kind of hold the focus.
I do the same thing with Rue. We use kind of
Okay.
what a marker, we use X as our, oh, and she just looked at me like, where's my
Oh.
treat?
Aw.
Oh, it's okay, girls. I'm sorry.
Oh.
Okay.
So I would do things basically such as sit at home and while I'm watching TV, when he was a puppy, I'd wait. I'd have a little pile of treats next to me in a bowl. And obviously, I'd wait till he forgot that I had them next to me. And then I would wait till he left the room or till he would get distracted with me. And then I'd say, Zephyr. And the second he would turn around, I'd mark it with yes. And then he would continue coming to me to receive the treat.
Yeah.
So I recommend that starting in the home is easiest because it's an environment that they're familiar with. And it's so easy. As I said, you can literally be watching TV and kind of training them at the same time.
Yeah.
And then we moved to long line work where I had a 30-foot long line. So I would work with him outside in a field or something like that. And then eventually that's when we introduced the e-collar just for situations. Any new situation a dog is going to be in, they're going to be more stimulated by the environment. And so that's why I like having the e-collar because any new adventure that we go on, camping, because it's all new, it's very stimulating for him. So his normal recall isn't going to be as good as it is maybe in the home or in places that he's been to a bunch, even at work. You know, he recalls really well in the yard when there's tons of dogs around him playing because that's an environment that he's at every day. So yeah, I always recommend starting with a good foundation with something such as clicker training or marker training. It's always a great way to begin, and you can start super simple, which is awesome.
So beyond that, just training, are there any specific tools or any equipment that you use with them that's helpful for you that you would recommend?
So for us, I always make sure I have number one, I always like to have a bungee line attached to Zephyr with a waist, kind of like a waist leash, so kind of a
A
canicross
hands-free.
setup. Yeah, because it's just so much easier on hikes to have my hands available to me, and he helps pull me up the steep hills sometimes, which is great too. Gives him more of a workout too. So my kind of my canicross setup is always a must when I take them
Okay.
hiking, and then really good treats. So I really like anything raw freeze-dried treats he loves, so like Stolen Chewies, raw freeze-dried treats he loves, and then Ruff bars he literally goes nuts for. I just have to bring out the whole bar and hold it in my hand, and he'll come to me immediately every single time. It's insane. So those are always staples too, just to reinforce if I do have him off the leash in any situation, just to reinforce that good recall.
Sure.
So.
Go back to the freeze-dried treats. Tell me more about this. Are they small treats? Are they like training-sized treats?
Normally, what I do when I get the Stellan Chewy's version of the freeze-dried stuff, they actually have it's meal mixers, and then they just released what's called Little Bites for little dogs. And I will actually buy a whole bag of that. It's meant to be actual dog food,
Oh,
freeze-dried
wow.
dog
Okay.
food, but they come in little bite-sized morsels that are super tiny. So what I usually do, especially if I'm going on a big camping trip and I know I want a lot of treats, I will just buy one of those bags. And I mean, you'll have treats for a while with one of those bags. And the nice thing with the freeze-dried raw is I feel like it's better on their stomachs. It's not as
Sure.
hard. Because if you look at a lot of training treats, they're kind of jerky. And sometimes with dogs with sensitive stomachs, it can be too rich for them. And when you're camping, that is the last thing that you want is a dog with an upset stomach. And Remy is a very picky eater, and she goes absolutely nuts for that stuff. That is the only thing that she will eat on a consistent basis and be excited about eating it.
Yeah.
Normally, with her old food, I would have to crumble raw Stella & Chewy's freeze dried on top of her food just to get her to eat. But now that she's fully on it, it's so easy. And for camping, it's so light because it's freeze dried. It's just so
Yeah.
much lighter to carry than kibble and things like that.
A couple times we've done a backpacking trip, and I have a rough wear harness with the removable pack for her
Oh,
so that
yeah.
she can just carry her own food. So
Yeah,
I
that's
don't
great.
have to carry, and we don't carry much. I mean,
Yeah.
there's a limit of how much weight that a dog can carry, but it's great that she can carry her own. So, but I'll have to
Yeah.
look into the freeze dried because now if she can just carry freeze dried food, oh, that's a lot less
Yeah.
weight to take.
Exactly. Yeah, and it's great. It's so easy to work with.
So, other than obviously food and gear for the dogs, is there anything specifically that you found useful just in your travels for you or, just for camping and getting out that's been helpful?
So the first time we kind of spoke to my first Palo Duro trip where we were a little under prepared. Then the second trip that I did, which I think was to Palo Duro again, I brought actually way too much stuff because then I think I panicked and then I had all this extra stuff that I didn't need, even food. I brought so many baby bags of chips and Oreo. I mean, I don't know what I was thinking. I had all this junk food that I brought that there's no way on earth I was going to be able to eat it all. So after we had our first underprepared and then second where I overprepared, I've kind of found a better rhythm. My must-haves for me, my husband actually has this old Osprey backpack that has a water bladder in it that he's had for years, and it had just been sitting in our closet, and I pulled it out when we started going to camping. I take it even in Dallas when we go on our little hikes, I take it with me. It's so great. Because it's small, but it can still carry enough stuff, and then it carries my water, which is great.
Yeah, hydration is a big thing for us. I've got a hydration pack that I run with when we do longer trails. It's a definite must.
Yeah, well, and even for the dogs too,
Yep.
because they definitely get way more thirsty than I do, so it's so easy to just tip my little Osprey bladder over and give some water to them. So that is always a must anywhere. And then because I like taking photos and all that stuff when we go, I have there's a company called Peak Design, and they make these really cool camera clips that you can stick to your backpack strap.
Okay.
And they have a thing that you screw into the bottom of your camera where you would screw in a tripod. And you can literally just slide your camera into this clip and it rests on your shoulder. So it makes it super easy to carry your camera. You don't have to carry it in your hand. You don't have to put it around your neck, which always hurts and chafes after a while.
Yeah.
It clips into the shoulder strap. And then when you're ready to take pictures, you press this button and slide it out. And it's amazing.
So yeah, it's a little quick release. Yeah, that's really cool. Something I need to look at getting for myself is having a little quick release strap like that. Those are great.
Yeah, it's a little pricey, but it is definitely worth the cost
Yeah,
for
absolutely
sure. I
worth
mean,
it.
I always have it on my backpack now, and it is so amazing. And then I always have good hiking boots is important. I tend to get very cold at night, so we usually hike during fall a lot of times too, where it can be colder. So I always bring a huge supply of hot hands. Which was funny on my last trip to Colorado with Brittany, who's at Bandits Mighty Adventures, and we go camping together a lot. But I brought a bunch of hot hands, and so we would put them in our pillows in the tent. And no joke, it made me feel like I was in a spa. It was the most cozy, just warm feeling ever. I mean, slept like a baby with those tucked in everywhere. So I always make sure I have those with me and around me at all times. And then obviously my camera. And usually for breakfast when I'm camping, I'm super groggy in the morning and it's chilly when you wake up. So I don't want to get the stove out and make stuff. So I always bring a big supply of Clif Bars for snacks and that's usually my breakfast.
You gotta switch over to doing freeze-dried human food.
Yeah, right. Yeah, I haven't. I know a lot of campers do those packaged things. I haven't tried that yet. I've been too nervous to try all the, they'll have pad thai in a bag
Yeah.
kind of thing.
Some of them are pretty good. Some of them are pretty good. I can
That's what
recommend a
I
few.
hear. Okay, well, you'll have to recommend me some so I can try because I haven't jumped off that ledge yet to try that. I've been too nervous.
They're okay. They're really quick and easy, especially if you are actually just backpacking, if you're out on the trail. I try not to use them too much when we do a lot of car camping, just because those things have so much sodium in them. They're really quick and easy. They're lightweight, so we try to stick with using those just for those situations where we need to save on weight. But
Yeah, that makes
it's
sense.
all the salt that makes them so good. So let's see. We talked a little bit about kind of local stuff and gear and all that. Coming up, do you have any adventures planned? And I guess we briefly talked about, your first big adventure, but something I kind of wanted to go back to, and I know we talked about your first adventure with Zephyr, but I really wanted to talk about your most recent trip because you made a pretty big trip in the middle of the winter too. Tell me a little bit about your trip to Colorado.
So that was with my manager Brittany and Bandit, and so we when did we do it? It was so we did it beginning of October. So one thing that neither of us realized, also not being from Colorado, is I didn't know that camping season closed at the end of September. So originally we were going to go to the San Juan National Forest area, and the campsites that we wanted to go to were all already closing for the season when we wanted to go to. So really what happened was I just scrambled and started calling campsites everywhere, trying to find one that would still be open during the dates that we wanted to go to. So we ended up at one called Bogan Flats, which was it's probably 30 minutes outside of Aspen. And it was really amazing. You could pick your campsite before you arrived. They even had a map that you could look at to choose which campsite you wanted. And it was right by a river. And we arrived to the campsite, and our tent was, 5 feet away from this river. So you
Wow,
hear the
nice.
river kind of rush, not rushing fast, but babbling, between rushing and babbling, I guess, during the night. So it was really, really neat. So because Texas is so huge, it was about a 16-hour drive to get out there. So we ended up splitting the trip up. In the beginning, we stayed at Palo Duro 2 nights on our way out there to break it up. And then we stayed in Colorado. I think it was only 3 or so nights is what it ended up being, because then we had to drive back. But it was really neat. As I said, the campsite Bogan Flats was beautiful. We really had no hikes planned. We kind of just drove around and found trails and did that. We did do Maroon Bells, which is pretty popular in
Yeah,
Colorado. And
that's
yeah, and I
high on
always
my list.
yeah, I always hear people complaining how busy it was, and it was not busy at all when we were there. So there was a lot of rain when we camped in Colorado and weather coming through. So I think it was actually a blessing because we got to Maroon Bells and we didn't even get there super early at all, because I think it's still a 2 hour drive from our campsite. And there's maybe one or two cars there. And so we did not get to hike all of it, unfortunately, because a huge storm was coming in. So we were hiking and looking at the sky, and the clouds kept getting darker and they kept getting closer. And we didn't come super prepared. We had some rain gear, but not as much for our cameras and stuff like that
Sure.
I would have liked. And so we ended up turning back and really trucking it back to the car. And literally, right when we got back to the car, it started sleeting. But the part that we saw was so beautiful because the aspen trees were still in their colors with all the yellow. And it was just incredible. Well, even just the drive to Colorado, Brittany and I caravaned. So I was the lead car, and then she followed behind me in her car, and I kept pulling over all the time because we would hit a beautiful lake or something. Or in Texas, we don't have all the fall. We get fall colors, but it's not a ton, and it doesn't last that long. And so I've never seen fall like Colorado fall. And so I was just in awe on the drive. I mean, I pulled over on this one spot, and it was all aspens and that bright yellow. And it's incredible. I could not believe how beautiful that is. So it was a really fun trip. That was probably one of the most prepared trips that we've had, where everything went super smooth. We didn't really hit any road bumps. Everything just went super smooth, even with the rain and all that stuff. It was a really easy and fun trip. So, and then on our way back, we got the first snow of
Oh,
Colorado, which was
nice.
fun because, again, Texas, you don't really get snow. So, our drive back, it started snowing. So, it was fun because we got to actually pull over a couple times and get some quick snow pictures the day that we drove back and got to say that we got to see snow. So, that was really fun to see too.
And then you guys got to do a more recent trip to Colorado, am I correct? This past
Yes.
winter?
Yeah, so that was with my husband, and
Okay.
that was not camping. We stayed at a nice Airbnb, which was super nice. I really wanted to experience real, full, deep snow that, again, we don't get in Texas. So my husband and I were married in January, so we kind of used it as an anniversary trip
Okay.
and drove all the way out there. We stopped in Lubbock on that one, which is close to Amarillo, to split the trip up. We stayed at this really nice Airbnb on 5 acres. So we actually wanted to kind of lay low that trip. So we didn't do any trails or anything. And being from Texas, we don't have all the snow gear
Sure.
to do any of the major trails. So we actually just walked around the property and enjoyed exploring that, and it was really fun. Colorado is just so beautiful, and all that pristine, beautiful snow was really fun to see.
Was
So,
it pretty easy finding a place on Airbnb that was dog friendly?
yeah, so I've done a couple of Airbnbs with the dogs, and usually two dogs is pretty easy, especially if you tell them that you're gonna have a crate and things like that. Having three, because Dan is only 10 pounds, I think is makes it easier too,
Okay.
now that we have three, because he's so little, he almost doesn't count. But yeah, we found it pretty easy with two to three. Any more than that, it can be kind of hard because hosts don't really want a ton of dogs in their
Yeah.
house.
Oh, what dog? You mean this one I've got in my pocket right here?
Yeah,
That's not a
right.
dog.
It's a squirrel. Dan's a squirrel.
So, recent trip sounds pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe a little less adventure, but they really got to
Yeah.
have fun in the snow.
Yeah.
Any future big trips that you have planned? Big trips, road trips, whatever you got?
Yeah, so I have two that are officially planned. I have one coming up in April, and I'm going with Bandit's mom again, Bandit's Mighty Adventures, and then my friend Stephanie, who actually used to be one of my employees. She's in school in Lubbock now, but she has at Duo Doggos is her
Yeah.
account with Ollie and Coda. And then we actually are going to meet at Two Dogs Traveling, Cootie and Roe, and Carly's their mom. So we haven't met her yet, but
Okay.
we're all gonna meet in Colorado again. And this time we're staying at an Airbnb too, and we're gonna go to Garden of the Gods
Yep.
State Park for one day, and then we haven't decided. We're only gonna, again, it's a quick trip, so we're only gonna have 2 full days there. So we're gonna do Garden of the Gods one day, and then the other day we haven't decided what we want to do, but it'll be fun because, as I said, we haven't met Carly with Two Dogs Traveling yet,
Sure.
so we're really excited to meet her and Cootie and Ro.
And I think that there's so much stuff in that area that you could probably pretty easily plan just a full day with, stuff around in that area that's close by.
Yeah, that's why we kind of left it up in the air
Yeah.
because we figured when we get there, we'll just kind of let inspiration, you know, spark and take us where
Sure.
it goes, basically. And then the other trip I have planned is actually in June. So there's a group of some Instagram people that I've gotten kind of close with, and we all have one DM thread that we're literally talking to each other every day, which is one of the my favorite parts about Instagram. It's fun as a creative outlet and to take pictures and show off your dog and your adventures and all that stuff. But what really has kept me very into it is some of the people that you get to meet.
Oh, totally.
Through
this
that
is
app. It's
exactly why I've started this, is just because the sense of community is so strong. And so it's just been great to kind of not just reach out, but just to hear like so much more about what people are doing and their adventures rather than just looking at the pictures. This is exactly why I'm, exactly why I'm starting that.
Yeah.
This,
well, I mean,
exactly
it's incredible.
Why I'm starting this.
Yeah. I mean, it's awesome that you're doing it. And as you said, it's really incredible to hear the stories behind the photos and to learn more about the people behind the dogs, so
Absolutely.
To speak. So I think there's 10 of us at least.
Oh, wow. That's going to be a huge meetup.
Yeah. So some of us have met. So me and Bandit and Ollie and Coda, and then Two Dogs Traveling will be there too. And then, so I know some of the people, but then we're meeting a bunch of new people. So I don't want to miss anybody.
Yeah.
So I don't want to start name dropping, but we're all going to meet up in Wyoming and do kind of, it's a week long camping trip. It'll be more primitive
nice.
Camping. Normally when I go camping, I try to find a campground that has a bathroom because I have a tiny bladder. So this one will be even more of a unique experience, where I won't have the luxury of a bathroom this time, but it'll be really fun. Just a bunch of girls with our dogs and meeting new people that we've been talking to through DM for so long now. And it'll be so fun to actually meet these people in person and meet their dogs in person. So I'm really, really excited about that trip. And I've never been to Wyoming with the dogs either, so I'm really excited to take them.
That sounds great.
Well,
and that kind of leads into, and this is something that I'm probably going to ask every single person. So you're kind of going on a list here. We're going to start a list of where we're headed. Pretend that all of your responsibilities, all your expenses, I'll come and take care of the doggy daycare for you for as long as you need to, and we'll, Rue and I will handle that for you. If you could pack up and go anywhere and do anything with your dogs, where would you go?
So my top two, my first one would probably be Canada. My husband and I went last June ourselves, and we went to Jasper and Banff area, and we fell in love with it. And that would be a place that I would just love to take the dogs to. I mean, those beautiful glacier lakes are just incredible, and the wilderness is so pristine out there. So that would definitely be one of my top picks, and is actually kind of feasible because we could technically drive there. And then the other one would be Iceland.
Okay.
And that would be in a perfect world where the dogs could fly in a seat next to me.
Oh, absolutely. We're going to take care of that. We've got it covered.
Okay,
we're just
going to
charter a private flight, in fact.
There we go. That's perfect. I would love, I'm actually going out there this summer with family, and I'm already in love with it, and I haven't even actually been there yet. But I think that would be a really fun place and a really neat experience to have with the dogs also. So those would be probably my top two choices.
Done and done. I'll start working on that now.
Woohoo! I'm excited.
Well, you kind of already mentioned a few people, especially with the meetup, which sounds really cool. But other than Bandit's Mighty Adventures, is there anyone that you want to give a shout out to? And it can be anyone on Instagram, someone in real life maybe that doesn't have an Instagram account, but just someone you want to mention.
I would probably say Adventure Yuki, which I think you've also already interviewed.
Episode number one.
Yes, she will be at the Wyoming meetup. She is a really neat person, and she is probably one of the most legit outdoorsy people that I've seen on Instagram that really knows what she's doing. And honestly, we are all relying on her to make sure that we survive on this trip. We've already told her, okay, you're going to be our camp chef and you're going to be mama bear for all of us. So she really roughs it, and she really knows what she's doing, and she's got such a positive vibe about her, and she's a really incredible person, and I can't wait to meet her and Yuki in person. So she would definitely be one to shout out, to follow. I think that, as far as I know, Instagram isn't always about followers, but
sure,
even as a photographer, I think she's incredibly talented, and I still can't believe she doesn't have an insane amount. How does she not have 50,000 followers? Because her photos are so beautiful, and she really knows what she's doing with the camera. So I think it would be neat to see people give her some love, and Yuki some love too. And then probably the other one would be Two Dogs Traveling. Mm-hmm. She was one of my first Instagram love accounts, and she just is so funny. She has this sense of humor. You can really see her personality come through her Instagram, and she's another one that will be, I'm obviously seeing her in Colorado soon, and then she'll also be in Wyoming. And she just always brought a smile to my face every day. When I first got into Instagram, I'd always go find her feed immediately, because she's just got this sense of humor that's infectious.
And it's laugh out loud funny. I read through some of them, and like, I'll be at work and people are looking at me like, what are you doing? It's because I'm reading through some of her comments on some of her photos. They're great.
Yeah, she just has this big personality, and through being a part of this direct message group with her and stuff, I get to see even more of that. And yeah, she just has this amazing, huge personality. And her dogs, too. I mean, they have personality, just as much personality to go with her.
Mm-hmm.
And I keep telling her I'm going to steal Cootie when I see him. Because you don't know this, but he's really small. He's only like 20 pounds. He's a little pocket-sized Aussie. So that would be another one that I would definitely shout out if, you know, you're looking for a smile that day, or she can make a crappy situation really funny. So if you're ever having a hard day, definitely read her posts, because they will give you a laugh.
Definitely.
Sure.
And I'm going to put both of those in the show notes. So anyone listening, don't worry about trying to write this down or type it in right now. Go look at the show notes later.
Awesome.
Don't crash your car right now. Well, Natasha, thank you so much. I can't tell you how happy I am to have you on, just because, I mean, for one, you guys do some really cool adventures, and Zephyr, just some amazing photos, and just such a beautiful dog. Again, all three of your dogs are just beautiful dogs. I'm not picking favorites here, but I just get a kick out of looking at these photos every day. So yeah.
Thank you.
Of course, we'll be in touch.
Yeah.
You guys are going to be, I'm actually going to be out in Colorado sometime later this summer, so we might be crossing paths at some point. Who knows?
Yes, yeah, for sure. Thank you, and I appreciate it. I really enjoyed all of this, and it was really fun, so thank you.
And that was my interview. Well, like half of it with Natasha. It was a really, really awesome conversation. It lasted like 2 hours. But of course, I want to keep the show to about an hour. I don't know, maybe one of these days I'll do a show with all of the excerpts that I don't use for the interviews. This is exactly why I started this, because it's just really for my own reasons. I enjoy talking and connecting to all of these people doing really cool stuff. It's just stuff that inspires me. And this is where I ask for your help, because I know there's a whole bunch of you out there doing ridiculously awesome things with your dogs, and I want details. Get in touch with me. I want to hear about it, and I want to share it with everyone. These connections to other dog parents and their experiences. It's what brings us together as a community. It's not just cool photos and likes and occasional comments. This is real inspiration and information to help all of us get out and live the best lives that we can for not just our dogs, but for ourselves as well. So email me at nathan@adventuredogpodcast.com, or you can message me on Instagram at adventuredogpodcast and tell me your story. And while you're listening on iTunes, it would be really awesome if you could just take a second, give us a rating or even a review. You can subscribe on iTunes, Spotify, Google Play, and now on Stitcher. So thank you for listening. Now, go and have an adventure with your doggos.